we were working on a search, and we had this woman who was our candidate, and she was leaving a bank. She was trying to move to New York because her fiance lived in New York, and she was from Singapore, and she was, she was working for the.
I'm falling asleep.
You know, the
is
bank
anybody
of the,
else interested in this?
Oh my God!
I'm taking the show back. I'm taking it back. Come on.
It's all yours, Animal.
You said
it's all yours.
Week. Okay, the guest.
Whatever.
The guest,
you know, you don't want to listen to my stories. These are real stories.
No, I didn't
if you
want
think
to listen
they're boring,
to that story. You need
whatever.
Me to guide you. You need me
okay,
to guide
then
you.
Guide
okay.
Me. Call
yeah.
it on a landline. Yeah. Okay.
So
where's Jim Durbin? I think Jim Durbin should do a shot of tequila every time I say like today. What do you think?
Here's what I think. You said on Twitter this week, the recruiting – that's Perry. Did you introduce yourself? It's Perry Gorman again, same girl who was here last week, Wall Street headhunter.
I'm a woman. I'm not a girl.
Oh, sorry. Sorry. She's a woman who used to be a headhunter, and now she's the CEO of a startup called Archively. We'll tell you more about it later. She said this week on Twitter, the recruiting ecosystem, that's got to be a bad word, the recruiting ecosystem is tainted with bad behavior, unreasonable expectations, shit technology, I'll say it because you did, and there's lots of assumed and accepted norms that no one questions. Maybe we should be questioning them. What are you saying there? There's bad behavior, unreasonable expectations, and bad technology. What unreasonable expectations? I bet you don't know what you were talking about.
I think I totally know what I'm talking about.
Okay, go ahead. Show me.
So I think that, first of all, when I say that we are dealing with a lot of assumed and accepted norms, I've been having conversations with people.
You asked me the whole piece,
and so I'm going to explain it the way that it's going to make sense.
Go ahead.
So in terms of the accepted norms, you know, when you look at what recruitment and HR, kind of how they operate at the moment, it's a very compliance-oriented ecosystem. Even though, you know, we need to recruit talent to build our businesses and it's really – talent is really one of the most core important things in the company.
What's the point? You're boring me.
Everything is – things are not set up to recruit the best talent.
Why?
So do you think that
what
job boards and ATS systems, the crap paperwork that is required to – organize a recruiting, like a search for
you
a
company. You know, I think you're on the wrong show. We're talking, these are headhunters primarily on this show.
I get it, but you know what? Their clients are internal recruiters and HR people. And part of the problem. Okay.
They're hiring managers primarily. Would anyone disagree with me about that?
Sure.
Would anyone disagree
it's
with me? Okay, nobody disagreed. You're wrong. Okay, but
is
you're
anybody
sorry,
there
nevertheless.
To disagree?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's plenty of people here. Although one person did hang up because of my technology problem. I'm just going trusting Blog Talk Radio. It worked once before. Anyway, look, you said you had a candidate who was making $2 million a year. Is that right? And then HR, you wanted just to arrange an informal look-see drink with the client. It wasn't a formal interview, but HR made that candidate fill out an online job application.
Well, they didn't make the candidate do anything. But this new, when I was running one of our global accounts, and there was a new HR person that came on board. And I don't know where she had worked previously, but when she came on board, she sent me an email and called me with all these protocols, and she's like, this is the way it's going to go down. Anybody who interviews for a position is going to, like, have to send their resume, and they're going to have to fill out this job application before anything happens. And it's like, that's not even the real world.
Okay, so what'd you do to her? How'd you get her to stand down?
I explained to her how real executive search worked, and then I, explained that, you know, when you're headhunting people who are not looking for jobs, you don't ask them to fill out a 4-page application, and that really only the people that ever filled out an application on these searches were the people who actually were made an offer. And they never filled out a job application until they were given an offer letter.
Right.
Right? You know, and in terms of...
What happened?
The hiring manager had to basically call her...
She didn't capitulate. You're saying she resisted you. Is that what you're saying?
Like, she was dogmatic in her beliefs about the paperwork of her job.
How old was she?
In her 30s.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. No, she was just one of those, like, super...
The hiring manager told her to back off. Is that what happened?
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
hiring manager said, you listen to Perry Gorman.
Okay, good. Okay, anybody else have an idiot like that for a contact in their company before? No? She takes a cake? Okay. You know, Mitch Sullivan, I asked if anyone else had a story to tell that was similar. No one does. I mean, you just had to walk into with a special idiot for an HR person, someone who I thought might have been 21 and didn't know any better, but obviously wasn't. Now, Mitch Sullivan, my good friend on Twitter, my frenemy, he had an interesting article on his blog. He pointed us to a long article in the Washington Post that said interviews don't work. This is the idea. The information on a resume is limited, but it's valuable. It reliably predicts future job performance. But there's lots of information in an interview. Most of it is irrelevant. And, in fact, there's so much information that when the recruiter interviews the candidate, it's just confusing. Can't focus on the relevant stuff.
That is totally ridiculous. Totally ridiculous. When you are interviewing someone, you are not interviewing them for facts. You are interviewing them and asking them questions, and you are seeing how they respond. You are sitting there and you are taking a temperature of who this person is, what are they motivated by, what are the things they're saying underneath the words. You have to interview people in order to get a good sense of how to handle them. So that is the most ridiculous thing that I've ever heard that a headhunter could say, is that that interviews are not important. Like, that's ridiculous.
He didn't say it. Psychologists said it who actually tested. They tested the ability to predict future performance just by reading the resume and then after interviewing people. And there was the exact same. There was no improvement at all after the interview. You said something different, though. You said you have to talk to the person to know how to handle them. What does that mean exactly?
So when you interview someone, particularly face-to-face, I am calibrating to who that person is and what they're about so that I can manage the process. It doesn't mean that they're going to be the best candidate. It doesn't mean that, like, they're going to last 10 years at the job. But what you're really, again, this gets back to, like, what are you really looking for and how do you manage, like, as a headhunter, you are trying to manage the process for your client. They want to hire someone, and in order for you to be able to manage that process, you better have a handle on every single person that comes through.
Do you happen to have a story, God forbid, that would back up what you're saying? I'll bet you don't. Even though I have to tell everybody, I begged this girl for a few weeks in a row, line up a few stories to tell, okay? Think about it in advance.
Have I not told you stories?
Tell me a story about this one.
About handling a candidate?
When did you look at a resume, not know? I'll tell you when I did once. I recruited a guy on the phone before I got his resume. I knew he was great just by talking to him, and and when I got the resume, it just confirmed what I already knew. So maybe that's not a fair example.
And how did that help you? How did that help you close him? Tell me.
I didn't close
him.
I think I told you about him last week. They offered him $10,000 above what they wanted to pay, and he decided he was going to stay where he was.
But you end up looking like an idiot because you brought a great guy and you couldn't close him. Who cares? There are great people out there all the time. It really doesn't matter if the person is great if you can't close them.
You know
why
what?
Bring someone great to the table?
Because, like, I think you might have said it last week or somebody else did. Maybe it was our good friend Mike. No, it wasn't Mike. Maybe it was Mike Astringer. I don't know. They said that, you know, sometimes if you recruit someone who's not looking for a job, it's just it's a big win just to get them to go out and look, have a look-see, have a sit-down and have that coffee with the hiring manager and see if there's anything there. They're very happy where they are. You know, you're just lucky to get them to investigate. That's what
happens. So then in that case, I would never advise my client to make that person an offer.
Why not?
Because
you weren't sure they were going to accept.
I only advise my clients to make offers that they were going to accept. There's a lot of work that goes into making an offer. Like, you know, at the end, okay, when I was working, one of my big clients used to be Royal Bank of Scotland. And so anybody who knows the history of what's happened there, by the time that I was kind of at the end of my time working with them, the amount of effort it went to make an offer to someone because of the level of approvals it needed to get, it could take, like, months to get an offer done.
Yeah, it wasn't like that, okay? Do you have a real story to back up your claim?
That is a real story.
Do you have a real story? Just say no. I'll back off. Do you have a story to back up your claim that you have to have an interview in order to really assess the candidate? Does anybody support her on that? Echo chamber. There's nothing there.
I mean, let me ask you a question. You would send someone's resume to your client that you'd never spoken to?
No, I've never done it, but I got to tell you something. If the information is correct, these guys say you're going to make just as good a hire by just sending out the resume. You don't have to interview.
Well, I'm really glad that psychologists think that, and, like, I have probably more personal data on it for over 15 years of doing the job that, like, I don't really know who they tested for this.
Let me ask you a different question. Have you ever had a case where the person – yeah? Who's that?
Animal. Animal, Darren Taylor.
Hi, Derek.
How are you, buddy?
Is that Derek?
I'm fine, thank you.
Hi, Barry.
Is that Derek Diver? What's up, man?
How are you, baby?
Hi.
Say, I'm on a mobile, which is, I know is a bad thing for Animal, but I had to jump in for a second.
You sound
better than Animal did just earlier.
Yeah, I kind of got it.
Do you have something to say, Derek? You just want to?
I do. I have a story. I can't believe anybody would hire somebody just off of a resume without doing an actual serious interview. That is the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Okay, so that's your opinion, but you have no proof. You have no,
no
story
proof?
Where... Well, you
17
have no
years
story
of actually recruiting and interviewing people, I have no proof.
I have no story of sending a resume to a client that I've never interviewed because that is the most ridiculous, unprofessional thing I've ever heard.
Hold on, there's another issue there. We're talking, you know, I'm talking hypothetically. The information is true. You want to make sure that the information is verified. We're assuming that the information on the resume is true, okay? So let me ask you the reverse question. Have you ever got a resume and said, this guy looks terrific, or this woman looks terrific, and then you meet her, and you got a gut feeling that something's wrong there, okay? And you wouldn't have known it if you wouldn't have spoken to that person.
Exactly.
No, do you remember one case of that happening where there was a discrepancy between the, you know, the person had the technical skills on the resume, but
you didn't think
they were a good
fit?
There was a kid back in Phoenix years and years ago. This kid's resume had every technology you could possibly imagine on his resume and his skill set. The guy was an Oracle PLSQL developer. He was a Java developer. He was a database developer. He had done front-end work. The kid was like 23 years old. He comes in. I start checking him out. And he doesn't know anything. I finally asked him, I said, why is all this on your resume?
That is different. We're talking about a resume that's true.
You just asked for a story.
Not a resume that isn't true. Okay, so what you're saying is you use the interview just to verify the facts on the resume. But do you have a case where the resume was actually not dishonest, but when you – and if the candidate looked good based on the resume, but when you met him or her, you disqualified him. Or you got a very – concerned
numerous times for management candidates.
But you can't remember any of them except this irrelevant story. Is that right?
How about a management candidate that I just talked to about 6 weeks ago? He's got a PMP.
Well, I'm not a mind reader.
He said he could run. He was running all these programs, and so on and so forth. His resume looked good. We brought him in, and the guy couldn't communicate. I'm like, how do you communicate with your managers? How do you communicate with the people that are reporting to you? And he couldn't. He really couldn't. Just
what
explain
was the
it.
Problem? Did he have an accent?
No. He would stutter. He was kind of like he was all over the board. He was sort of like having an interview with you.
Okay. Okay.
You know, it's just
okay.
We asked
you know
him a question, and he asked us a question back.
I got to congratulate. I have to congratulate. You actually gave a decent example there. Congratulations.
I'm so excited.
You know, the other side
we'll
of that
on.
Animal is what I was saying last week, which is that there is, like, someone who looks great on paper may not actually be the right feel or fit for a particular position, right? So I was giving the example last week of when I worked for third-tier, like, French banks. If I had an awesome candidate from Goldman Sachs, they weren't necessarily, just because they were great on paper, doesn't mean that they were the right fit for the job.
So they weren't crooked enough?
They were.
Pardon me?
Let's not
no, no,
get
her story
mean
last
on the Wall
week,
Street.
Which I remember, I'm pretty sure, some people coming from big companies get a lot more support than they get at a small company. I think that was
yeah.
So that's something else that you won't notice from a resume, but you would find out when you spoke to them, right? Actually,
yeah.
You better know that already.
She claims she does know her. Know your industry was her big... you know, mantra last week, so I would have thought she would have been able to figure that out just from the resume, but no.
Anybody can recruit without interviewing someone. I'm sorry. Like, that is just, it's just a ridiculous concept to me.
Mm-hmm. Okay, listen to this. If by chance it's true that resumes are as important as those psychologists said rather than the interviews, then it would probably be worth paying someone to write your resume. What do you think about that? Do you think it's good to have someone write your resume? Does it make any difference since most of the information you seem to be interested in comes in the interview?
I mean, resume writers come in now, too, I have two opinions on this. Number one, if you, let's say, haven't really – ever kept your resume up to date or written a resume, I think having a resume writer help you pull out the things that really exemplify your experience and your add value. Some people just don't know how to do that naturally. It is kind of a weird thing to do is write a resume, right? So I think from that perspective, I don't see anything wrong with it. Where I see something wrong with it is where people start to play with keywords and alter information in order for them to hit particular job descriptions and get through applicant tracking systems. That's where I have an issue with it. Really, when I'm interviewing someone, yes, you're looking for verification. You're looking for particular stories,
you know,
like you love animals.
You're too wordy. Oh, I got to go to the washroom. You know, that's what people tell me at the hotel when I'm
Derek
in, when I'm in an event and
bathroom.
I get with somebody. I ask Maren Hogan and other people, what do you do? You know, you seem to be a good chatty person. How do you handle conversations at these events? And they all say when they want to break it off, they either say, oh, I'm going to refresh my drink or... oh, I've got to go to the washroom.
Really?
Or,
I just say, like, I got to go.
Like,
yes, so then you're rude.
I am rude.
Turn your back
on
this person.
I am pleasantly rude. I will say, let's exchange information and continue this conversation at another time.
So now you're backing off instead of being rude.
And then, you know, what would you do if you found somebody committed suicide, some insecure person, the next day they were gone just
because I stopped talking to them?
Yeah,
no.
You never know.
That's ridiculous.
Come on, Animal. It's not worth that much.
I'm really not that important, Animal.
That's not a really good trigger.
recruiting on social media. Here's something. You remember I just mentioned that Lisa recruits ADP. I mentioned her in the introduction. You guys didn't hear, I guess. Anyway, she said she's had great success. She said she's had great success. Yeah, it was really good, too. I think so. Anyway, she said, nobody could hear it. Thanks, Blog Talk Radio, what I'm paying you for, nothing. Your new technology that stinks. Okay, so anyway, she said she's had great success with Twitter, and so I looked at her Twitter page, and she only posts jobs there. To me, that actually makes That actually makes good sense.
Barf.
You know, who said blah? Was that the guest?
Me.
Butterfly? Why? Why do you say that? What's wrong
First
with
of all, I was never
on?
Used to it. It's not. It's about how you do it, and I also, I don't believe in all that. But if that works for her, then fabulous. I think you just choose who you want to be and how you want to do it.
I don't. I believe in it. That makes good sense. That's the kind of information people want. They don't want to know, you know, interviewing tips like, you know, how to have a coffee with a recruiter.
Really, they want to see you spew out like job posting after job posting.
Yeah, I think so.
I don't think that's interesting at all.
No,
that's not content. That's just job board spam.
And it's content based upon the company itself.
And that's
ADP, American Express, if they're just posting job and is saying, hey, it's a new job at ADP and I'm the recruiter, you can reach out to me and get me. Yeah, you're gonna get a resume flow 100%. You're some small company that's trying to make it. You're sort of a startup that nobody's ever heard of, and all you do on Twitter is just post your jobs. They're just going to walk right by you. They don't give a crap. I mean, come on.
What's her conversion rate
there
on
you go.
Applications?
Exactly.
Not only applications, but actual hires. I'd really love to know the data on that. And not only the conversions, but I'd like to know the retention rates on those, too.
Well, also,
go ahead, Al.
Go ahead, Animal.
I invited her to come on the show. Well, you know, I haven't heard back from her. I probably won't, you know. I can say a couple of things. Nobody watches Twitter for me anymore, but Mitch Sullivan, this guy is crazy. He says, what's going on with Animal's obsession with stories? You know what? If you say something, it's not wrong to ask you to illustrate it from real life, okay? Not everything can be generalizations. That doesn't mean anything. You have to see when the rubber hits the road. Mitch, that's what it's all about, okay? And there's a guy named Eric, Dultex Recruiter. You need a better Twitter name than that. He said, I've had a manager sub a candidate I found to client, or I guess submit a candidate I found to client before I spoke with the candidate based on the resume. But, you know, he tells us that, but then he doesn't tell us what the outcome was. So, Eric, it's meaningless. Come on!
Well, let's ask him. Well, he's obviously, like, just having trouble with the 140 characters. And let's ask him. And what?
Okay, and my good friend Kirsten Stokes-Smith agrees with you. She thinks those postings of just jobs is boring. But I think Derek gave the best answer. He said if you've got a strong employment brand, a high profile like ADP, fine. They know what they're getting when they see that. If you're a small company that's unknown, you have to talk about the company as well. Okay, good.
Yeah, but Animal,
there's
a fundamental problem with that, Animal, and your ADP person might be a fine recruiter, but as I think most of the people here will say, 99% of them are nothing but post and pray and admin types, and sure, they're going to get flow, they're going to pass it along. They're not hunters.
No.
Okay. We'll see when she comes on the show. Okay.
And also their follow-up is lousy.
What's lousy? The phone?
Their follow-up on candidate engagement or following up saying, hey,
yeah.
God, even the auto-generated sucks.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, earlier in the show, Animal, you said to me this is about headhunting, and now we're talking about an internal recruiter using Twitter to post their jobs. This is part of what I was trying
to
say before in terms of the ecosystem is broken.
A headhunter, that crosses the barriers. Use your imagination, Butterfly, okay? Just fly across the fence. A headhunter could do the same thing as well. Let me go to another topic.
God forbid a headhunter did that. Seriously.
Okay. A hiring manager who's a bad interviewer. Have you ever had a hiring manager who scares the clients, you know, stone-faced? What'd you do?
I think that there are two things.
You know, tell us a bit of the story and what you did.
This was actually in Hong Kong when I had there were cultural barriers in this particular situation, and we were recruiting expats to work for a Chinese manager. And there were a lot of issues around just the chemistry and the expectations of communication. And so in doing so, there was a lot of pre-management on both sides, meaning that I had to really give the candidates a
okay,
heads
you know
up
what?
On
you
what
just
to expect.
It out. Cut it shorter. Yeah, one guy was Chinese, the manager. The candidates were American. You had to prep both sides
you
to prepare for each other.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So, but what
that's
about
what
when
it,
they're
but
both American?
That's what it is. It's called
what about,
handling.
But, no, no. It's easier. You know, you could go to the Chinese manager and say, look, it works a little differently in the United States. It's us. It's not you. You're not bad. But if you've got a hiring manager, a client
who's an
who's
asshole,
really got a crappy personality, you can't say it's because you're American. Don't worry, you're not American. He is American. She is American. And you got to tell him, you know, you're scaring
well,
my candidate.
Well, if I had a hiring manager that had
time.
That.
You, it's your stinking personality. Well, did you ever do that?
Yeah, I actually had that once. And in that particular situation, the more difficult it became, I actually had conversations with their boss.
Okay,
because my client was the company.
Darn straight.
You know, there were conversations about actually doing a search to replace the hiring manager. And I was never beneath
okay.
that.
And what happened?
So
what happened?
Ultimately, they managed it internally. And they had conversations with the individual. And they basically said, like, you know, you need to get your shit straight here. Because
you know,
if you are
not
the person
that show, that's a bad
oh,
word.
Oh, I apologize.
Word,
family,
okay?
family show. Sorry.
My virgin ears.
Oh, God.
No, you know what? It's just, you know, it's for your intellect, you guys. You don't say shit for every word. You try to figure out the real word. Don't talk
like
somebody who
word.
Doesn't have an education or a brain, okay?
I enjoy
yeah,
that
well,
word.
Yeah, well, that's one
they,
of your shortcomings, dear. That's
they,
one of your shortcomings.
My
and no one else is ever going to tell you except me. Okay,
good. Thank
so,
you
know, okay, so you didn't tell me a really good story about this guy had a bad, this is what he did. People said, I don't want to work on a regular basis with this person, this cold fish. You know, let me take that in another direction. People are always talking about culture. Do you ever, you know, talk to the manager when you take a job description, say, well, do the people in your office like to go out together for drinks every Friday after work? You know, they bring in cakes and sing happy birthday whenever it's someone's birthday. Does everybody talk about sports? You know, do they have a baseball team in the summertime? And if someone comes in and doesn't do those things, is that going to be a problem? Did you ever do that?
I personally never worked on those kinds of searches, like, where that mattered. Culture to me was more about their philosophy around sales and clients and general feel, for instance. Culture would have been like someone from Lehman Brothers versus someone from Bear Stearns. I mean, they're both out, you know, they're not there anymore. But like the cultures of the different banks, you could almost feel what they feel like when I used to do that. But on another note, kind of more current and some people that are using Archivaly, I can say that people are definitely looking more and more towards culture as a pre-filter even to skills today, right? And I think that there's a lot more information available to us as we recruit to see if there's a pre-fit
no,
in
no,
terms don't, of
culture.
No, you
know, I'm going to teach you something. You're a good talker. You've got the bounce of a good conversationalist, but you drag everything out. Do
okay.
it. Okay? And I got to tell you, when you're interviewing on YouTube for your standard grind or whatever it's called, you tell them to cut it short. I was watching some of your stuff. Say, hey, stop there. This is what I want to know. Don't just cruise through your interview.
We like to let those guests talk. That's part of what we do.
Okay. Well, it's not always the best thing to do, and I'm giving you some good advice. Okay. What about unrealistic job descriptions? I just want to see, you know, the feedback, the interactions you've had. So far, you know, I don't know what stories you lined up, but you didn't line up any that sort of correspond to the questions I wanted to ask. Did anybody ever give you an unrealistic job description in terms of they wanted the world and they didn't want to pay for it, or, you know, they just asked for a weird combination of skills that really belonged, you know, for two different jobs and they wanted them in one. Did you ever have an experience like that, and what did you do?
Yes, and I don't have a story because it used to happen all the time, but I can tell you how I would handle the situation. Do you want
okay,
that?
Go
or
ahead.
Do you...
Yes,
okay.
I do. I want the exact words you used.
So when I have a client who has unrealistic expectations, First of all, I sit down with them and I make them prioritize what they think is most important. And before
so what do you
we
say?
Even
what
get
do you, no. You skip this stuff. You say, you know what? This is
you
a crazy
say
job
to them,
order.
Okay. First of all, it's not a job. It's like you sit down with them and you make sure you don't let them just send you a wreck. You actually sit and have a conversation and you say, let me understand the priorities here. And if you couldn't have all of these things, let's imagine a universe where this is actually not possible. Where are you flexible? Where are you willing? Like, what is the most important thing here that you must have, and where are you willing to be flexible?
And if
you
they
have to have
say
that.
Butterfly, if they say butterflies are free, listen to me. I need everything. I want everything.
You can't have it.
Then you know
that's
what I would say? Then you should find
that's
then you
I'm
should find
you.
Another headhunter. No, I'm not gonna work on a search like that. I am not gonna work for someone who's unreasonable. They're either going to listen to the expert advice that they've hired, which is why they've hired me, and if I'm telling them that that doesn't exist and they don't want to listen, then they should find someone else to do it. Period.
Okay, now let me
I don't
ask
have
you
time
something
for that
else.
Shit.
Wait a
sorry.
Let me
sorry.
Ask you something. So you do retain – this is the best answer you've given me so far. I just want to give you points. That was good.
Thank you.
Now, the thing is, though, you do retain searches. So if the person said, yeah, we'll work with you, and then you come in and say, you know, you're crazy, I'm not going to work on that search, does he have to pay you the full fee at that point?
Oh, no, I would never take someone's money if I didn't want to work on their search. I'd be like, I'd actually write them a check back.
Don't take the search.
Okay. I wouldn't take the search.
No, but they've already agreed. She came in. Now she's doing
But if they've already agreed, you can give the money. No.
That's all pre-retainer. I would have that conversation before I wrote someone a retainer. And look, of course, retained searches change. Part of the other reason why you do a retained search, if you're looking for someone that's really, really kind of difficult, is that the purpose of also doing a retained search is for them to show you all the research in the market, is to show you, hey, you were looking for this, and this is the universe. This is the universe of all the potential candidates, and that person doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
So now that you know that person doesn't exist and we've proven it to you, let's get you realistic.
And
okay,
show them the lost
okay.
opportunity cost, animal.
What does that mean?
Real simple. When you bring in many times when a retained search firm comes in, unless it's just because somebody wants to say they hired Korn Ferry, it's because they really need the person, and they're depending on your guidance, and you need to come to them and say, Not only have you been looking for 6 months and not found it, there is a lost opportunity cost and a lost value to not having that person on board already. And by the way, you've already lost $700,000 to top line revenue. When do you want to get serious?
Yep.
Oh, okay. Okay. I want to ask one more question, then we'll talk about Archively, your new project, okay? This has happened to me a number of times. I recruit somebody or someone has actually referred to me who just took a job not that long ago, let's say within the last year. They're not happy because a month after they started, boss was the reason, their manager was the reason they took the job. I want to work with this person. Have you ever had the experience of being on the other side where you place somebody and they say to you, you know what, Butterfly, I want to take this job because this manager is so great. I'm going to learn so much from her. And then a month later, she goes to be VP at some other company. And then,
totally
what
happens.
Do you do then? What
it
happens?
Sucks.
What do you do?
It sucks because in the career that I was in, my clients are off limits. So there is – the only way that I could help that candidate is by talking to the company that is my client and trying to express the disappointment and see if there's a way for me to help that person internally. I can't pull that person out. As much
you know
as
what?
I would
I
like
always,
to.
I'm the same. I hear people say, oh, I placed that person three times in three different companies. And they say, you know, oh, well, you know, they've been there 3 or 5 years, and they came back to me. They're ready to go. What can you do? And they place them. I can't imagine doing that, right?
It depends on whether you're still currently with that client, right? So if you are someone that is more of a contingent recruiter who places candidates, then chances are you're going to have your stable of stars that you will place over and over again in your career. And if you're someone who, like, I ran a global, like, account. There was nothing that was worth me pulling from one of my clients because I ran the account globally. Like, I would never, ever do that to them.
Okay. Okay, so but the thing is, though, some people would actually try to keep the person there long enough so the guarantee period ran out. But,
well, that's just,
you know,
garbage. I mean, that's just shitty. It's just you can't keep people – when recruiters operate like that, they're just bad actors.
Uh-huh. Okay, you know, I want to just make something clear to Amber Eastman and even, you know, Billy Thompson Jr., who says he agrees with me, doesn't like the bad language. But Amber says
sorry.
She doesn't mind. There's no family. First of all, I have to tell everybody that there used to be, I don't know if it's true anymore, there used to be lots of people who listened to this show with their kids. And the kids like this show, believe it or not. Okay?
Because you're crazy.
It's the only business show they listen to. And so the thing is that that's not my real issue. There's also just the intellectual issue of not trying to come up for an educated person, not trying to come up with a good word that really describes something, using the same vulgar word to describe everything. It is not
stimulating. Can you just be in approval of where I am? Really? Like,
can we just be in approval? I'm supporting
you.
I'm not going to enable. You seem like a smart person. Why should I enable your you know, degrading your intellect? I'm not going to do that, okay?
I don't take it that seriously.
You're the CEO now. First of all, let me ask you. Sounds like, you know, we had a guy on who placed Wall Street traders as well before, and he made millions of dollars. So I'm assuming that you can go into this Archively project because you made millions of dollars before. Is that true?
I am not going
to
comment
on. You don't have to answer if you don't want to.
I actually left the business and didn't work for a couple of years before I started doing this.
You spent it all on gurus? Is that what you're telling me?
I don't know if that's a story that I want to record.
Anyway, I just thought that was kind of interesting. Let's go on to Archively. I'm going to change my own question. It's not going anywhere. So Archively, what is it? First of all, let's spell it. It made a big difference to me. I spelled it with you last week, and I was able. It's archive.ly. That's how you tell people. Archive. Everybody knows how to spell that. Archive.ly. That's how
there
you say it. Okay? Now, what is it?
It's like Evernote about people. So it allows you to build digital dossiers about anyone from information anywhere publicly available on the web. You don't have to know them. You don't have to be connected to them. If you are researching them, you can pull their information from anywhere and create a profile for them in your system.
Isn't that just a contact manager? Isn't that a Bill Thompson. Okay, he just said he agrees with me, not you, okay? Will Thompson Jr. You know what? I got to say something. I was trying to help him get a new URL. I was trying to give him a new URL. I said, don't take something that isn't a word that doesn't have clear meaning. So he chose wthompsonjr.com. That's not a
good
URL. What
does he think he agrees with you? No, I agree 100% on what?
Okay, the language issue, Let's move on. I want to know about Archively. It sounds like a contact manager online to me. How is it different from, you know,
traditional contact management systems? Well, Smart Recruiters is an applicant tracking system that attaches to your job board postings. That's a totally different system. This is for sourcing and research. What do you mean? Why? Do you know what an ATS is?
Yeah, you put it in the database for your candidates.
No. An ATS is a place for you to compliantly track your resumes that people are sending you so you can prove that you didn't discriminate. Okay, that's what an ATS is. It's basically a big garbage can for compliance.
Yep.
So we're talking about recruiting now, which is research-oriented. When you are researching and browsing and searching LinkedIn and searching Twitter and all these other sources of data, where are you putting that as you do your research? Can you tell me? Most people put it in spreadsheets.
Yeah.
So spreadsheets are, first of all, a very solo sport, even if you use Google Docs. I mean, spreadsheets are – I mean, it's just caveman, in my opinion, number one. Most contact management systems, I mean, even the infrastructure of Salesforce was built pre-everybody having their data online. And while there are a lot of ways where CRMs are looking to keep data up to date and fresh, when you're talking about where the data is coming from, they're still pretty static manual.
Okay, yeah, I'm just sorry. You know, I got a short attention span, and so you're losing
okay.
me. Let me.
Well,
let me
I mean, you asked me why it's different, and I'm telling
you. If I can't understand, I assume no one else does either, and I'm often wrong. I have different tastes than many of my listeners, but I have to go with my gut, okay? Now, here's what it sounds
like
telling
me. It's a very, very simple workflow platform.
So how do you save this
Animal.
Stuff? Is it like Pocket? Is it like Pocket where you say,
yeah.
I want to save, you know, you right-click it and you say, save this to Archively? Is that what
it's
it is?
It's like Evernote or Pinterest. So when you're on any page, you click the bookmarklet, and you can create a profile for that person right there.
Well, that's interesting because you know what? In that survey, the survey I talked about that no one heard by JobVite, they've got a good survey of what people are using for recruiting, and it's primarily, you know, I tend to think in terms of sourcing online. And so Pinterest didn't even appear in it, but you're saying the Pinterest style, a Pinterest style tool, I have an echo now, a Pinterest style tool, I bet you somebody's got their mic and their speakers on, a Pinterest style tool could be used as a database for recruiting. That's what you're saying, right?
Yeah, and one of the things that we also do is that as you know, for instance, one of the things we're with publicly available LinkedIn data, you know, we scrape that and pull it into Archively so that you can search it within Archively, and it's totally legit and within terms of service that we do it. So it's, for instance, let's say you're searching for, let's say you do a Google X-ray search on LinkedIn for a particular kind of skill set, and as you're going through, you're looking at what's relevant, what's not relevant, and different profiles. Personally, when I do this to recruit, I pull in all the profiles that I might be interested in into Archively, and then I go back and I do a second round of research. Then I go back and I look at all their other social data, their blogs, whatever, and I pull it all into Archively, and then I strategically figure out how am I going to best, A, email this person if it has to be cold, or get to this person.
Mm-hmm.
So
okay, good.
That is the process, and that is why, I mean, the tool is simple, but the other thing
right
is
now
it's about...
It's free right now.
It's free right now.
Right now. It's
yeah.
free.
It's okay. It's invite only. It's invite only because we're keeping it to people that are relevant to it. But
okay. Well, what about the people who are bright and they're listening to the Recruiting Animal show? It's not many of them. It's an elite core of recruiters.
Yeah.
If
no.
They,
wanna, they can request. Yeah. They can request an invite, and we'll set them up.
Go
for
to
sure.
archive.ly and see ask to be to get an invitation. If she say if you can, if there's an opportunity, say, I heard about you on the Recruiting Animal show. She might be nice to you. Let me ask you a few more recruiting questions before the time is over, okay? This has happened to me. You get these big clients, not, you know, two-bit companies, who drag their feet. They'll tell you, this is an urgent search. And then when you get the candidates, they say, oh, we can't get the partners together right away. There's three partners. You know, all three of them have to come and interview or something like that. We can't get the team together to interview. In the meantime, you've shaken that candidate loose psychologically from their current job. They're easy pickings for any other recruiter who comes by. They might have been actively looking, which is even worse because then they've got feelers out there. Something's going to come their way. Have you ever had that situation? Because I was unable to deal with it. I almost lost the candidate. In fact,
yeah.
I had to put it off for a few months.
So I think there are two things that happen there. One, that's just the nature of the business, and it sucks, but that's what happens. Two, you have to be a hammer. Like, I actually scheduled all of the interviews for, you know, I didn't have an admin do it. I did it myself because I would hammer my clients and their admins and be like, I need this interview to happen. This
How do you hammer someone?
Find the time.
You see, you don't sound like a
hammer.
Business person. I know you like to be friendly with
you,
people. How do you hammer
I am friendly.
Your client?
I hammer while I pet them. It's like, I need this. Thank you very much.
Well, what if they just say, no, it's impossible?
Well,
what
then
you
say, would you like to postpone doing this search?
What if you say, look, you know what? I'm working my ass off for you, and you're going to pay me. If I lose this candidate who's good for you, there might not be anybody else like that out there. And you're going to pay
scarce.
Me no matter what. Is that what you want?
No, you can't operate like that because that is very short-term thinking in terms of the way you're treating your clients. You have to treat your clients like they're going to be your clients for 10 years. And you have to say to them, look, I am willing to help you, and I am here working for you on your behalf. Forget about the money. Don't ever talk about the money. And – I am advising you that if you don't get yourself together, see, I didn't curse there. I wanted to. If you don't get yourself together, I can't help you close this deal. You are losing opportunities. All you have to do is tell them they are free will people and they have to make their own business decisions. You can't want something more for someone than they want for themselves.
Okay. So it's in their hands. They can double the length of the search just by not being available when the candidate is available. That's really – they can. You can lose that candidate. You can double the length of the search. And you know what? You might not be able to get somebody. Just like I was reading, somebody was talking about guarantees. I think Scott Love said, I like to give back the money because after I've done a good search, there's probably nobody else like that out there. And he's right. He's right about that. And, you know, he doesn't mean give everything back. It depends on how long the candidate has been, the new hire has been with the company. What do you think about that? Same principle, guarantees.
I always looked at – I never had that happen, first of all. I have to be honest. But I always looked at the fees as, first of all, part of my time. So meaning that when I took a retainer, if no one was hired, I still got paid because I did all – they actually got all the research. They got all of the information.
Did that ever happen that no one got hired? Did that ever happen that you took a fee and no one got hired?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And what was the excuse that for giving – sorry, I'm going to take $30,000 from you, but –
more than that. I mean, we're talking about probably $100,000 for no one getting hired. And
Tell me that story before the show ends. Come on, we've never heard a story like that.
A story like that is basically where I get put on retainer. Normally, retainers are not structured like the big, you know, the big five or whatever. But I would structure retainers where you pay me, you know, a certain portion up front, and then a certain portion in 60 days, and then the other would be on the final. So if you're working on a search with me for 4 months, you've already paid me 2 retainers, and if you have met more than, let's say, 10 to 15 candidates, and I've done all the research for you, and you still are either on the fence about whether you want to make a hire or things in the market change or someone leaves and you rejiggered the situation. I mean,
So the thing is, you've just set a standard. If you've sent them 10 people and they haven't hired, you kiss them off. Is that right?
Well, no. These are my clients. And, in fact, most of the time my clients would always say to me.
We're almost at a time, and I'm going to defend you. Blake Cannon has said on Twitter, he said, this show stinks. It sucks. Get Mike Astringer on. Or where's Jerry? I think it's an interesting show, Blake. Sorry, I can't please you. But
he
this
said
is
it
an
sucks?
Interesting question. Yeah. At what point do you kiss that search goodbye? Is it after 10 candidates? Be clear, we're almost out of time.
I worked on a search for 2 years that I went through 5 different hiring managers during that search, and ultimately at the end I placed someone. It was a $250,000 fee. So I don't just walk away. But there is a point in which you say to the client, you know, does it make sense for me to continue on this? And if not, let's bring it back another time. But I get paid for my time. So if I work on something.
Yeah, Chad Balby, just want to acknowledge you for agreeing with me. I appreciate that. So here's another thing, the last thing that we won't have really time for, but it's interesting. 2 years you worked on a search. What made it possible to find the person in the end? Why couldn't you find the person before that?
So this was a really senior search in Asia. It was for the head of fixed income sales for a bank in Asia. And what happened was when I first started working on the search, they brought on a new manager, and there were 2 managers that were going to be – there was a regional manager
and
a
functional
manager.
Yeah, you know what?
You got
like 1 minute. Can you cut it down?
Okay.
Or we'll leave that for another time. Wait, is Jerry here to do the after show, or does someone else want to take charge? Jerry, are you here to do the after show? I see a 260 number. Maybe that's, you know, Travis. Does somebody want to lead an after show? Is that Travis? You want to lead the after show?
No, I'm not going to be available to do it, Animal.
Does anybody want to lead the after show? Okay, you're lucky today. No after show. Too bad Blake Cannon. Blake Cannon, are you on the line? I'll give it to you. Blake? No, he's not here. One day we'll find out. One day you'll come back and we'll find out the mystery. How come it took 2 years and you actually found someone at the end. I thought you were going to tell me I worked for 2 years and then I cut them loose. Anything you want
to
say before we go
here? No, it was 2 years and we actually finished the deal because it was a finite universe of people and it was a matter of getting them on. First of all, it was a matter of them dealing with their own internal drama, right, and getting their management structure right for someone who could actually make a decision. We had two parties that were in disagreement for a year.
Yeah, just too abstract now. You want to wish everybody a wonderful day and
I wish everyone
a
wonderful day. Thank you. Oh, my God. Thank
you,
Animal.
I thank you for coming back. There was somebody scheduled for this show today, and he couldn't make it. And our guest from last week said, I like the show. I'm going to return. And, Perry, I'm going to thank you.